the Savior a song of praise. Come, let us worship the Lord. Trusting His might, walking His light. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Great are His wonders and grand His ways. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Heavens will bring,
Jesus shall reign.
Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man, conquering lion, yet suffering lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord. Sing to the God of eternity. Come, let us worship the Lord. He is the King, rise up and sing. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Sing to the victor of Calvary. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Honor the Son,
Jesus has won.
Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man, conquering lion, yet suffering lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord. Worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship, worship. Come, let us worship the Lamb.
Good morning and welcome again to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 40, verse 3. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord.
Remain standing for prayer. Heavenly Father, King David says, "Be thou exalted, Jehovah, in thy own strength, so we will sing and praise thy power." And that's why we have these songs of glory to you, Father, because of your power. And that's why the choir will sing with power to you, because we want to exalt your name, O Jehovah. Father, we pray that as we fellowship today, as we go again into the studies of the Beatitudes, as we look upon thy word and the exhortation of thy word to each one of us and to those who listen over the internet and radio and CD and tape ministry. We pray, Lord, that the expansion of thy word will touch us and will change us little by little. We ask you forgiveness because sometimes we're stubborn. We want our own way. Sometimes we don't know the way, but you are the way. And so, Father, we pray that because of your mercy and patience with us, we will be like Jesus, sharing the life of our Savior in a way that will strike people's mind. Why are we in this way? So, Father, we also pray for members of our congregation who are feeling the infirmities of our bodies. And Mrs. Forrest is confined to a bed. But when we talk to her, we get the real heart of a lady who loves you. Thank you, Father. Raquel is completely well, Father, and now is in the final touch of recovery. And I'm just so grateful. I cannot operate. I feel lost when I don't have her by my side. And so, Father, thank you for medicine and for the miracle of good doctors who know what to do with our body. McDowell has a very bad experience this week, and we have him in church today, but I was scared and called the hospital even this morning because I can't find my brother and father who, how wonderful it is that he also is recovering slowly from something that could be a real problem. And our brother, we remember our brother Chiafre. He's so good to us. He's wonderful. He's seen in the choir. He's quiet, but he's a faithful man. And he's in vacation on the festivity of his 93rd birthday of his mother in Philadelphia. And Father, I hope that he did have a great time and a wonderful time. He's flying back this week, and we pray for safety for this wonderful man, part of our church. We extend our preaching and our care to with missionaries. And we are concerned about Fred. Lord Fred Lewis is in a state of recovery, but there is no light at the end of the tunnel. And we like to pray that the doctors may find a way so that he may be rehabilitated. We pray for Carl and Ruth Knott, who are in Seville, Spain, for Eusebio and Marisa Perez at Malaga, for David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and for Daniel and Miriam Lacey. Lord, Daniel is in Canada. We talked to him yesterday, and he's flying home today, and we pray that you bless that trip and that he may arrive safely. And I know next week he got to go back to Canada and with Miriam, and they're celebrating their wedding anniversary in the meantime. And so, Father, thank you because you are faithful. We have children. We don't know what could happen to our children, but you know, and Miriam marry a faithful man who loves the ministry of the word, and they together they can serve in such a difficult place. And thank you for Martha Poretti, Father, as she deals with people that have no control of their life because of drugs, drugs addiction. But as she teaches them how to work, and as she drops the gospel to them and leave books and Bibles to them, from time to time, we have one or two or three a year who come to know the Lord. Thank you, Father. Every ministry in your name will be empowered by the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our choir. Thank you, the faithfulness of these people, the summer and winter. They are here, and they are here to praise your name. Thank you for our choir director. Thank you for those who work behind the doors of our church and their homes and preparing bulletins and preparing different inserts of the bulletin, doing a lot of work of administration on a volunteer basis. Thank you for those who play the piano. Thank you for the young people last week, Lord. I was encouraged with 15 of them praying. And thank you for the church. We have 45 in prayer meeting last Wednesday. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. That put a flame in my heart because I am a man sold to prayer. Thank you, Lord. And I know the people at home are listening to our broadcast, and they are praying with us. Thank you for internet, for that we can mail them our requests. Thank you, Father, for the network that we have, not only here at church, but there in the realms of the internet. Lord, we want to glorify your name. We want to say great things about you. We want to share with the people your power and your instructions. And we want to share with those who believe in not in you, that you are a merciful God, that you one day will touch them and change them, whether they like it or not. What a faith we have in you. And then, Lord, as a pastor, I'm grateful that our people support the ministry, and way beyond the ministry with missionaries and so on, we have a faithful church here in Morgan Hill. And then beyond, there are friends who send money for our missionaries who are listening on the internet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness who is seen to me in the life of people who support the ministry. So bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
with its light. Give me heaven's wisdom, make my pathway bright. Speak, Lord, speak, Lord, I'm listening today. Speak, Lord, speak, Lord, I'll do all you say. Guide me in your perfect path, help me never stray. Oh, speak, Lord, speak, Lord.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 563. We will be reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that we live in a place where we can freely assemble together for prayer and worship and the study of your word. We thank you that we are free to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ in most places, and may you only experience a little nipping at our heels at times. And as we see that there are many areas of the world where there is no freedom to come together to do these things, we pray that we will be enabled by the Holy Spirit to be faithful servants in accord with your word. We thank you that you have provided everything we need in Christ. We love you, Lord, for your great faithfulness toward us. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Give us understanding as he exposes your word, that we may order our lives in obedience to that word. We pray for those listening on the radio and internet, tape and CD, that they may also be blessed with faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. We return to the Beatitudes, and you do well to open your Bible to Matthew's chapter 5. As you do so, I go through the remembrance of the Beatitudes. In number 1, Beatitudes, in verse 3, the blessedness of emptiness, you come to God with no excuses. Then you know you're going to be blessed. Beatitude number 2 was in Matthew's 4, the blessedness of brokenness. No excuses for yourself. You don't have to excuse for the things you do. You just got to come to God with a broken heart. Blessedness of a selfless life is Beatitude number 3 in verse 5. And that is no focusing on yourself. Don't try to live your life, just feel guilty by focusing on yourself all the time. Beatitude number 4 was in verse 6, the blessedness on honesty, focusing your life on God's law. Is the word of God really real to you, yes or not? And then Beatitude number 5 on verse 7, as you know, the blessedness of tenderness, mercy, and compassion. We are prone to apply the law to everybody, but we need to apply that beautiful law of God, the law of mercy, that we don't have to judge anybody. Just judge yourself, but don't judge anybody. Then, Beatitude number 6 in verse 8, the blessedness of holiness. Character really matters. And when you live a life in the way you think, when your head and your life are together, that's character. People may think you are wrong. People may think they disagree with you. That's fine. But when you live a life that your head and your heart and your walk of life are the same, that's character, really. And doesn't matter. You can be a doctor, an engineer, or a garbage collector. Doesn't matter. Everybody qualify for this one. It's just beautiful for all of them. Beatitude number 7 in verse 9, the blessedness of peacefulness. Relationship matters for God. And remember, my key verse was in Romans 12, if it's possible for you, sometimes will be not possible, but if it's possible with you, be at peace with all people. Now, verse 10, please, Beatitude number 8, the blessedness of faithfulness. Our brother have read this, I read it again, verse 10 in Matthew 5, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Oh, the word righteousness is a German word that in English is translated justification. And blessed are those who are persecuted because you said that you are justified on the basis of Christ's work. That's what that beatitude really means. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those people who said, I'm going to heaven not on my merits, I'm going to heaven not because of my church does, of my pastor does, or any denomination does, I'm going to heaven because of Christ, then those people will see the kingdom of God. Now, these Beatitudes give us a description, then, of Christ's impact upon the world. There will be hostility in the world of ours because we stand in the principles of God's word. There will be hostility in your home sometimes. There will be hostility in your work sometimes. There will be hostility as you visit another country sometimes because you stand in the principle of God's word. Now, God require really that you be faithful under severe circumstances. And that's why I entitle these Beatitudes the blessedness of faithfulness. And there are three aspects of this faithfulness, they are expected every member of God's kingdom. Three aspects of this wonderful expression of faithfulness that it is required from all of us. And let me share them with you as you follow me. The number one faithfulness in our life is that we need to be faithful to our Christian character. Faithful. If you call yourself a Christian, and again, you know myself, I don't play games with Catholics and Protestants and this and the other. I don't play games like that. I'm talking about Christian, real from the heart. I don't play games between the hundreds of denominations of the Protestant church. No, I mean, we all preach Christ, don't we? And we need to be Christians. And we need to be faithful our Christian character. Number one, by being loyal to Christ's person. Look at here in verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. For what? For my sake. The King James had the word my as a capital M. Just to help us to know that he's talking about Jesus. And so faithful to a Christian character means that we need to be loyal to Christ's person. We don't compromise about Jesus. I don't think any denomination wants to compromise about Jesus, don't you think? I don't think anybody wants to. But you could. Now, some people say, why you don't compromise about Jesus? For two reasons. Number one, if you turn your Bible to Acts 4 and verse 12, page 641, Acts 4 in verse 12, page 641, the Apostle Peter is teaching. And the Apostle Peter is teaching to a congregation that have a high priest. A congregation that they have a name of the high priest, and that was the person that intercede for them. And look what the Apostle Peter says. He said, neither there is salvation in any other. Salvation means from the wrath of God. In any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved from the wrath of God that is coming at the end of the world. Acts 4:12. There is no other name. There is no other formula. You people said, well, the Muslims are nice people. Had nothing to do with being nice or not nice. They said the Buddha people in India, they are good people. That had nothing to do with the Buddha people in India being good or bad. It had to do with a name. There is only one intercessor. And the Apostle Peter is preaching to a bunch of guys who follow Caiaphas, which was a high priest, and the class studied this morning in John 18 and saw how difficult it was. And they had that priest, and Peter, in front of these people, putting his head on the neck, he said, there is no other name, fellows. There is only one person. It is Jesus' name. People said, well, you Christians are narrow. Well, that's God is narrow. All right? Now, many people said, why do you pray? I prayed the other day in a restaurant. I said, in the name of the, and I pray very down, but then when I finished, I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody came to my table, obviously, because I was stupid, and they said, why you do that? I said, so that you know that we have an intercessor. But I said, I'll tell you why I do that, because the Bible tells me to pray in the name of Jesus. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. All right? Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 20. We turn the Bible together there. And you will see that the Bible requires that we close our prayers in the name of our Lord Jesus. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. You cannot finish a prayer with no name. You cannot finish a prayer with my name. It means nothing. You cannot finish your prayer in the name of Peter or John or Mary. You have to finish your prayer in the name of Jesus because he is the one. He's the one who do what? Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 8 in verse 34, and the Bible tell you what Jesus is doing. Romans 8 in verse 34. Look at what the Bible said. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes what? Intercession for us. Now that word, intercession for us, is only one time in the Bible for Jesus. You just put in your computer, intercession, ask, click, and see how many verses of the Bible you get. And you get only one. This verse is only for Jesus. He is the only one who had meritorious works accepted by the Father. So Jesus is the one. Why? You know, when Jacqueline was very little, she said, why all the time? It was a challenge. Why? Why is only Jesus? Because not only he died for my sin, but he is my high priest. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Christianity had no made void Judaism. No, sir. Christianity is sitting on the top of Judaism because we got, Christianity got the high priest proclaimed in Judaism. Chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews, verse 14 says, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, look at the name, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Then verse 16 obviously said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. You can come to God boldly, knowing that God is listening to you, because your high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the faithfulness that we're talking about. Faithful to our Christian character. Our Christian character says that we are loyal to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ because he paid for my sin, he was accepted by God, and he interceded for me. Doesn't matter how bad I was, doesn't matter how much an error I have done something, Christ will always take my prayer and bring it to the Father, and he is not going to say, because he's a good guy, he's going to say, because of my blood. You see that? No other man in this earth can say because of my blood, because God did not accept anybody's blood, only the Son. So we are faithful to our Christian character by being loyal to Christ's person and also by being loyal to Christ's principle. If you go back to Matthew 5 and in verse 10, you read these words. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of God. Now the word, the key word is for righteousness' sake, for justification's sake. Has to do how we have been justified before God. We have been justified before God not because of a liturgy performed in church. Doesn't matter who do it. Lutherans, Presbyterians, or Roman Catholics. No liturgy in church will justify you. We have been justified not because you and I have performed particular good deed and now God has accepted. Why then the principle of justification is so important? Well, you turn your Bible to Ephesians 2:8, page 689. Ephesians 2:8. Page 689, and you know it by memory, and you will know what the Bible says about justification. I think it's a compensation of the whole book of Romans, 1 to 12, and one verse, in verse 8. The Bible said these, for by grace, and I'm going to use a particular perfect tense of the verb, you have been saved, a perfect tense. There is nothing more to do it. Remember, a perfect tense implies that the action has been completed and is past. And so therefore, the Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. The word that in the original language is plural, so refers to the act of grace and faith. Both of them, it is a gift of God, and it's just God's gift. I don't know why it's so hard. People want to do something in order to get something. God said, don't do anything. Just stand at the first beatitude. Stand empty before me. I work with you. You don't stand empty before me and second beatitude, brokenhearted, I cannot work with you. See, because if we are not empty and brokenhearted, we cannot see God's work. We see our work. We reason. We have done this, or we do the other, or we did so many prayers, or we give so many offerings, or we do this, or we as long as you and I are doing something, then God cannot work. But when you stand before God and you say, God is me, how do I know about you? Hey, I have a book about you. You know? But don't worry. My business is rich in mercy. And Wednesday night we started the psalm. We hit one of the psalms who said, mercy, mercy, mercy. I enjoyed that psalm. I repeated to my wife, mercy, mercy, mercy. If God has mercy, you should have mercy on me, you know? Man, do that. It's good. Faithful to Christian character. By being faithful to the person of Christ, you don't compromise Christ. And by being faithful to the whole theology you need to know is this. Christ Savior. And you did nothing. That's the whole theology. Absolutely the whole theology. We need to be faithful to that. It's not for compromise. It's just we want to pass it on kindly, gently. So that you take your time and review this in the Bible. Don't review this in a book in the store because that's the author's opinion. You review what I'm saying in the Bible. It's true that the Bible teaches that God can save me. Don't be afraid. Read it. But people are afraid. Afraid to read the Bible. I ask my fellow people there in the shop, in the coffee shop, have you read the Bible I give you? Nobody, except Leo. Nobody. And Leo read it and right here. But the rest are afraid. Is that right, Leo? They're afraid. What is it? Well, Satan knows. That as soon as you read the Bible, God is able to drop the chip of faith in you. And God is able to type 411 and you go. You see what it is? This book will make you saved, said the book of 1 Timothy. This book. You don't need me. This book will make you saved. Now, when you're saved, you know the truth. And this morning, Pilate asked the question, what is truth? See, the answer in 17:17, Holy Father, sanctify them and thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 14:6, I am life, I am the truth. It's Jesus, all in Jesus. So, faithful to Christ. And you have to do it very kindly. You don't have to do this and say, oh, we Christians. You have to do it with joy, you know. You have to tell people, you know, I don't know what you believe and I don't know how you grow up. But I tell you something. If you read the Bible, you find out what God said. Now, say it in that way. Don't say it with pride. Say it with kindly because there is no pride. We did nothing. Number two. Faithful to our Christian walk. Now the talk is coming to you and me. Faithful to our Christian walk. In spite of a spiritual opposition. Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 15, page 641. The book of Acts, chapter 4. We're going to start reading verse 15 to 18. A spiritual opposition. Page 641. Acts chapter 4, verse 15. But when they had commanded, these are Peter and John, they were in jail. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. This is the police and the church. Look at what they said, saying, verse 16, what shall we do to these men? For in thee, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spread no farther among the people, let us severally threaten them that from now on they speak no man in his name. He said, well, okay, he said, these guys, they really evangelize the whole town, and we don't know what to do. We are the official religion of this town. I tell you what we do. He said, we called them and said, now you can do anything you want to. You can have the largest church in town. You can have everything you want to, but don't mention the name of Jesus. Now, verse 18. So they called them. Now, that's opposition, don't you think? You are married to a very nasty husband, and he tells you, don't ever turn the radio on a Christian station. Don't mention Jesus to me. Now, that's tough, don't we? Okay, here it is, 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor even teach in the name of Jesus. Now, they know their neck is on the spot. They are there. So the next verse comes. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. Verse 20, for we cannot but they speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's clear. In spite of a spiritual opposition, you are faithful to your belief. You do not accommodate your belief. Now, be careful, because I work in a civil work, and I know that some people can be nasty and have no tactfulness in how to share the gospel. They are working. You do the best job you can for your boss and for your company so they can become millionaires and you can have your job to the rest of your life. But don't try to push that gospel out of place or in the business time. When you're in business, you're in business. And you work like crazy so these guys become millionaires. That's the Bible teaches that. But in your free time, you can carry a Bible. And people say, why you work so hard? If a union come to you and say, don't produce so much. I'm sorry, sir. Here is the Bible say, work for Jesus. See, that's very strong. And in spite of a spiritual opposition, you maintain your cool. You maintain Christ. Number two, in spite of personal accusations. I'm going to go back to a book that's before the book of Psalm. I know when I pronounce it, it looks different, but it's the book of Job, all right? Before the book of Psalm, chapter 1, and verse 8, 9, 10, and 11. Now, here is a man who we're going from one level to the other. He's a man on the richest scale. And God never said that he was rich. The people said that he was rich. But in verse 8, God, in chapter 1, in the book of Job, page 327, God says something very pretty about him, very, very emotional to me. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the whole earth, a blameless, an upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. You know what? That teaches a lot, no? Teaches that people say, well, I know what God said, but we are human. We cannot live a holy life. Wait a minute, fella. This guy, God said, he lives a blameless life. They go lie? God doesn't lie. So he said, that man, Job, he's a human being, but he blames, I'm proud of him. He's blameless. In other words, God cannot bring anything against him. Verse 9, Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Now, Satan is going to slander Job. Verse 10, have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hand, and his possessions have increased in the land. By the way, that's what God does with everybody, not only with this man. If you are blameless before him, there is only one way to go up. Up. This is not an exclusive something that happened in history. This is the typical. The man was blameless in his character before God, and God raised him up. And so Satan is going to say, oh, you know why, God? Because you really put a circle around him that whatever he does, he prospers. That's slandering him. That is like saying, oh, Job is faithful because you bless him. No, Job was faithful first, and then God blesses second. But Satan is a liar, and he's twisting the whole thing around. Verse 11. But now, he says, Satan, stretch your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. He said, if you take away whatever he has, boy, he's going to get mad. That's a slander. And the Lord knew Satan and knew Job. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Because that was the question, what he has. Only do not lay a hand on his person. That's God's. Everything you have is for God is you. God is not interested in the riches of Job. God is not interested in the possessions of Job. God is interested in Job. And he said, you can do anything you want. Take the house, take this, take the other, but don't touch him. It's mine. That's what the edge is. Isn't that beautiful? So in spite of personal accusation, if you had read the 42 chapters of the book of Job like I did many times and taught this for 5 years, I tell you, it's the best book of counseling. He got three psychologists friends trying to help him. I tell you. They trying to tell him, first, one psychologist said, you're guilty. The other said, you maybe your grandfather did something wrong. Like today, psychologists. And the other said, well, we have to analyze your work. Until chapter 37, the God brings the pastor, Elihu. And he said, Job, look up. Have you considered the great works of God? And then Job reacted. And in spite of personal accusation, Job never cursed God. Even those three friends were like enemies, and he never gave up. One of the best theological statements come from the lips of Job, like the earth is a circle. And it's based upon God's center of gravity and not upon the sun. Amazing things you learn in physics and the book of Job. Tremendous. Together with the book of Isaiah in chapter 40, where the earth circulates in an about situation. I mean, you can learn tremendous things of life in the book of Job and in the book of Isaiah. But they never doubted God. Faithful to our Christian walk, in spite of spiritual opposition, in spite of personal accusation, in spite of physical persecution. And let me give you, just because of the time, I'm going to go through the scripture, but I mentioned to you. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, the Bible used the word persecuted. Who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Persecute. You know, imagine somebody who persecutes you verbally. That's a terrible persecution. That tells you are wrong, this and the other. I mean, how long are you going to take it, you said? Verbally? Sometimes physically? So I want to mention some people in the Bible who were persecuted. Abel was murdered by his brother, Cain, because he was a man of God, Abel. And he lost his life. David was hunted by Saul because he was a great Christian. David, King David, he played the harp. And he tried to help King Saul. And King Saul tried to kill him. You find that in 1 Samuel 18. Stephen, the Bible says, a man full of the Holy Spirit. They stoned him to death in Acts chapter 7. James, the wonderful man who wrote the book of James, he died. First people to die was slain with a sword in Acts 12:2. These are the first apostle to die. Paul was persecuted beyond measure. You read it from Acts 9 to Acts 28. He was persecuted in everything he did because he followed the gospel. So faithful to our Christian walk. You have plenty of examples in the Bible. Finally, faithful to our Christian happiness. Look at the text again in Matthew 5. Blessed are those who persecute you for righteousness' sake. And then look with me on verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Faithful to Christian happiness. One of the things more contagious in life is to be happy. People cannot take it. You're happy. You're satisfied. Whatever your personal situation is between you and God. But when you relate to people, you relate your Christian life. And you're a happy person. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Translate that into your own English vocabulary. Exceedingly glad. You mean, Pastor? I mean exceedingly glad. See, joy comes from God. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8, page 317. Nehemiah chapter 8. And I read for you something that is so important. Joy comes from God. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, page 317. I'm going to start reading in verse 8. So they read, they found the book in the Bible after so many years. After 70 years, they found the Bible. And Ezra found the Bible and read it. And verse 8 says, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God. And they gave the sense and help them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, you have a Hebrew word over there, Tishartah, Ezra the priest and the scribe and the Levites who taught the people said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or wept, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And you imagine standing for 8-9 hours and they read the entire first book of the Bible. They were really hard. Then, said verse 10, he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portion to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now that, when you take it, the beatitude in verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Rejoice, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you are not reading the Bible, you are not going to produce joy in your life. I have a very hard, heavy situation in my personal life. My brother, Reuben, is in a very difficult place in his life. He looked for in a very difficult place in his life. And hundreds of people are writing, I'm paying a lot of bills so that he can keep the things in control. And Raquel said, until when? Don't worry, darling. We're going to pay this bill, and the Lord is going to bring us things up in the table and tell me what to do. And this morning, here at 8 o'clock, came an email from the doctor, where he is, saying, I'd like to talk to you. And he said, I need to help this man, and I need to talk to you. Wonderful. Now I got a connection, a high connection. The chief doctor in the hospital said, I want to help the man. I learned that you pay the bills, and you earn the right to talk to me and tell me what's wrong with your brother. Well, I'm telling you what's wrong. He's a gambler. He's this, he's the other. I just want to tell you, he's a human being like you. He's as bad as you are. You're a psychologist? He's not a psychologist. He's a police officer. Both of you are bad until you have Christ Jesus in your heart. I already sent an email. So I'm going to send you a Bible, and I'm going to fly to Argentina and sit down with this doctor and tell him, what's the problem? The heart of the problem is the heart. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful, is slippery. Who will know it? That's what the problem is. It's not where he was raised. He was raised like me. It's not his grandma. His grandma was my grandma. I'm going to destroy all the laws of psychology. Oh, I'm enjoying. I'm writing notes. But if I don't know the Bible, then I will be shaken. See, the joy of the Lord is your Bible. Once you know the Bible and people do wrong, you don't panic. You say, well, that's natural. I could be that person. I could be my brother. I'm sad for his situation. But I'm glad that I can help. Now, remember, the Bible talks two things. The joy. The joy comes from the scripture. But the Bible says, rejoice in verse 12 in Matthew 5 and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward. Oh, I'm going to get that Mercedes-Benz after all. No, sir. You know what is your reward? It's just written in the Bible. Right here in the book of Genesis in chapter 15. Right at the very beginning. Genesis chapter 15, Abraham, you know, in chapter 13, he's sent to the unknown location. And Abraham was a rich fellow too, and he may be worried about how he's going to do business in this new location. Look at what God said, Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. That means Abram was afraid. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Don't worry about those Arabs over there. I take care of them. I'm your shield, and I am your exceedingly great reward. Here's the word exceedingly again. Abram, all you need is me. I'm your reward. Brother in Christ, Christ is our reward. Whether you live in a house, whether you rent the house or you own the house, whether you own a car or don't own a car, means nothing. It's God, the God of the Bible, your God, because that's your reward. So let's wrap up the whole thing. The blessedness of faithfulness. We need to be faithful to God because He's faithful to us. We need to be faithful to the person of Christ. Never change that intercessor. Never change that intercessor. Don't pray in the name of Peter, John, Mary, Juan. Don't pray in the name of nobody. Don't pray in the name of Gabriel. Pray in the name of Jesus. And don't trust anybody for your salvation. Any liturgy. Trust Jesus' blood. Now, what is required from us? Two verses. If you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, page 694, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, if you're a Christian, this is a heavy verse. If you're a Christian, this is very heavy. 1 Thessalonians 2, 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, so we speak. Paul said, we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. You're a manager. All of you are managers. You are manager of the gospel in your life. For a reason unknown to me, you can shut off the gospel, you can turn on the gospel. That's unknown to me. Don't ask me why. I wish I was a puppet. The only thing I do was good. Then Raquel would be so happy. But we were put in trust with the gospel. All of us. Now, what do we must do with that trust? Turn your Bible now to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, page 672. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 2, page 672. Moreover, said the Apostle Paul, look at what he said. Moreover, it is required of managers, stewards, managers, that one be found, that the one is a manager, be found, what? Faithful. Not even request a big job. Faithful. 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 You know, I'm on the air, but I share it anyway. One of the greatest times for me in family radio was when the president of the radio would call my home and said, there is a bill here for so much money, and there's a check went out. You think it's true? Because in Christian work, when you work millions of dollars a day, there are a lot of crooks, I'm sorry to say. And we discover a lot of people in bad shape. And he would call me and say, do you think this is true? He trusts me. I felt like a $1 million man. Whatever I said after that word is what will count. Many times walking in the station, even today, people say, will you tell this to the president? Whatever you said, he will believe it. I'm no longer an employee. I have nothing to do with it. He said, whatever you said, he will believe it. Will you put a word for me? Because if you say it, it makes sense. Now, brother in Christ, that's the greatest honor we can have. When I told my brother Russ for 23 years working with me, do this, do the other, I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry. I trust him. And he never failed me. That's the kind of person we need to be. Trustworthy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But first, you have to meet him empty. Then you get this. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us the example and the outline and the guideline of what we must do with our life. Faithful to the Lord Jesus. faithful to the principles of the Bible with kindness and gentleness and mercy and love, so that people may see in us the beauty of a Lord who never leaves us. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Stained with blood of those who paid the price for a cause they felt was worth it all, the cause of Christ.
And because of all their sacrifice, they made for me a better way, and the gratitude I feel will be revealed on that glorious day when redeemed I shall stand. Land. With the mighty blood washed strong, I will sing redemption song, crying worthy is the Lamb. When redeemed at His throne, I stand.
So by faith I'll just keep marching on, ever pressing toward the prize, longing for the day I look into my Savior's eyes.
Then you look at me and say, well done, welcome home, my faithful child.
And as I stand before His throne, the trials I have known will be all worthwhile when redeemed I shall stand. Promised land. With the mighty blood washed strong, I will sing redemption song, crying worthy is the Lamb. When redeemed at His throne, I stand. With the mighty blood washed strong, I will sing redemption song, crying worthy is the Lamb. Crying worthy is the Lamb. When redeemed at His throne, I stand.
When I came to America, I was in the Christian Reformed Church in Alameda, and I saw a lot of families doing this, participating. And when I went to Nicaragua in 84, 85, the pastor will call a family, like we'll say, Russell, you and your wife come in and play the guitar and do this and do the other. And I guess he called people who knew that. And then one time he called me, he said, you come and sing. And the church was packed. I said, open the doors and I sing, you know.
That's beautiful to speak from the heart. Let us stand as we are ready for the benediction. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.